to the one who created the world. In just a breath, a word, the whole universe is created. Our God, now our Savior, strong enough to make the world and strong enough to save us and rescue us from anything that we might face or go through. And to the one whose heart is to see all men and women and children come to know Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, we ask, God, that you'll be on the move these days. And we're thankful, God, that we get to be your people and join you in your mission of saving and rescuing people. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good morning, Risen Life. Good to see you this morning. Oh my gosh, it's what a beautiful day. Check out those mountains, huh? A little snow up there. Wow, that's exciting. And Utah won at USC this weekend. My gosh, that's a miracle. That proves God exists. So, yeah, what a crazy time we're in. And good things happening. Welcome to you who are guests this morning. Glad to have you with us. And we'd love to have you introduce yourself to us. You can do that at guest.rlcut.org. Or if you have prayer requests, and I no doubt you do, please let us know. We'd love to pray for you at prayer.rlcut.org. Well, yesterday, last evening, we had 45 guys here eating a whole lot of cow together. And that was a lot of fun, playing some cornhole and in learning a little bit about how to walk more personally with Jesus. It was good to have them together. And we've got some exciting things coming ahead. We got Trunk or Treat coming up here in a couple of weeks on the 23rd, a Saturday, 4 to 6. And inviting you to come and bring a trunk full of candy so that our children can come and get lots of candy and go home and be with their parents. That's like a fun thing to do, you know. So we want to do that. And it's going to be great. It's going to be a bouncy house just for the kids and taco truck for kids and adults if you want that for dinner and some cotton candy and popcorn and just a whole lot of fun. Maybe even a little music, I heard. So we're going to have a good time. So come bring it. Invite neighbors. We're going to put door hangers in the community. Invite people. It's a good chance to just love and serve people in Jesus' name even and kind of something as fun as just that. So also want to remind you today, following the second service, we're having a gathering of two of our missionary couples, global partners. The Hoshizakis, Mark and Wendy, will be sharing some, and Kirk and Crystal, this is their last Sunday with us, and that's kind of hard to say, you know. So, but they will be heading back to East Africa, and it's exciting to be able to pray for them. So we'll be gathering and hearing from them at 12:30 today and praying for them in the fellowship hall. And then we just want to remind you that encourage you to do as God asks of us, and that is to give generously and regularly to the work of God's church, wherever your local church is. If this is your church, to give faithfully to that, and we encourage you to do that online or in person. There's a connections box at the back of the worship center here, and you can also come by the church in the office during the week. We love to see you and drop off a check that way. But God asks us as an act of worship in light of how he has given us his son to give back the first and the best to him. 10%, it says, throughout both New and Old Testament, first back to him and to do that faithfully. We're thankful for so many of you who do that regularly. It keeps us going here on God's mission in the valley. Well, this morning, we are starting a new series. We're really stoked about this series, actually. Taking the Land, we're calling out of Joshua. Just sense that there's a movement underfoot coming out of a pandemic in churches really all across America and in our city that God is on the move. And we want to join him on that. And we want to think about, like, what would God say to us about what he wants to do with us to take our city in this sense with the gospel? And so we're going to aim to do that here over the next few weeks and aiming toward actually Vision Sunday, which will be two Sundays. We call it Vision Sunday, but it's really two. November 14th and 21st, where we're going to share a lot of new things that the staff's been working on, and we're super excited to share with you. And this series kind of gets us a ramp up to that. So let's look at the book of Joshua. And you can turn there in your Bibles, or you can pull up your phone, or you can just listen to me read these verses. But Joshua is an exciting book, and it is really the fulfillment of God's promises to the nation Israel to give them a land. And we're going to see in this first chapter, which is what we'll look at today, that God gives Joshua three commands. One is to take the land that was promised. Two is to be strong and courageous. And three is to make a plan. And we see that in the last few verses of the chapter. So let's talk about these commands given to Joshua. First of all, to take the land. Look at verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. They're on the east side. They're going to go over the Jordan, take the land which was promised on the west side. You and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. And every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. So we see the torch being passed from Moses, God's leader of Israel, through really many of the years of the Pentateuch there. And now he's handing it off to Joshua. He's called Moses' aide. He had walked with Moses in lots of major pieces of leading Israel. He had been with Moses in the tent of meeting. He was with Moses when he was dealing with the squabblers in Israel and how to deal with those kind of grumbling people. And he was with Moses in his kind of weak moment where he was told to speak to the rock and there'd be water, and Moses gets angry and strikes the rock, and God says, well, now you're not going to get to go in the land. Bummer for Moses, but I'm going to hand this off now to Joshua, who's with him in all of this. And Moses hands his leadership off to Joshua. And this is such a critical thing. You know, I was thinking about this week, how important it is to hand off leadership between generations and to hand off leadership when we move from one set of leaders to another in an organization or in churches. A church that I love and care about has recently handed off leadership, and it just hasn't gone very well. And it's a struggle. I care deeply about this subject, not only for God's kingdom, but also for my personal life, that I disciple and train younger leaders well. So one of the questions we should have of ourselves, I think, is who are we mentoring? Who are we discipling, right? This church has got the generations. It's one of the really cool things. We've got the older, we've got the younger, and we've got the in-between. And are we passing it down? Are we teaching people how to live for Jesus? Are we teaching them how to lead and how to walk with him? We got to do this. Find your disciples and share with them. And you don't have to be perfect. Like, Moses made some big mistakes with Joshua, right? Joshua saw them. They were glaring like, that was dumb. And Moses did it, but Joshua learned from it. Like, he won't make the same mistake. We don't have to be perfect. In fact, some of our failings are the best things to share with those that are coming behind us. And this is really the joy of my life these days, is to train and hand off to younger men and women this mission of the gospel. In fact, we told one of our young guys this week that he's going to be an intern this next year. I don't know if you know Coop Talbot, but he's 18 years old. Now I've never hired anybody 18-year-old on a staff before. This is an internship, of course, but it thrills my heart, you know, and I don't even know if he can lead cows to pasture, you know. But we did find out yesterday he's good at cornhole, so that might be important. However, you know, this is Kevin. I'm a bad loser and a bad winner. We beat him. Troy Brown and I beat Coop and Max, wherever Max is, the two young guys. We beat them in cornhole, so that's worth noting. I love it. Makes me so happy. But the torch is passed to Joshua now from Moses. And this book of Joshua is about his leadership now to fulfill God's promise of the land. If you remember in Genesis, if you've studied through the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, we see God gathering a people, and he promises to Abraham that he would be a great nation. Listen, it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to this land that I will show you, that he's promised, right? And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I love that. That is God's people's instruction. Like, God blesses us. Now we're to be a blessing. But he says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. The nation of Israel will come out of his heritage. And then he says in verse 7 of that same chapter, he said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so there's this promise given to Abraham of us land. It also then is given to Isaac again in chapter 26 of Genesis, and then to Jacob in chapter 35. And this is really, the book of Joshua is speaking of God's faithfulness to keep his promises. God makes a promise, he will keep it. You can bank on it. When he says he will save you, when you trust in Jesus, you can be sure he will save you and keep you to the very end. In fact, this would be like almost a seemingly impossible thing. Like he's going to give this land and it's filled with all these giants and monsters and big people and they're scared, you know, like how will God even come through with that? But Mary, little quiet little Mary, the mother of Jesus that we'll be talking about a lot here in the next couple months, said it so profoundly, there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing's impossible with God. And I don't know what you're facing today or where you need to see God's hand, but you need to know your God is for you and there's nothing impossible with him. With your job situation or your health situation or your children or your relationships and friendships or whatever it is, God is for you. And we can ask of him, and he is eager to bless us. So there's a lot of history, actually, that leads up to this place in Joshua. Maybe just give a brief rundown of it. If you remember at the end of Genesis and early Exodus, that Jacob and his family, the little seedlings of the nation of Israel, are moving into Egypt because of famine. And they will be actually there 430 years. But they'll multiply and grow great as a nation there. And then ultimately, Moses comes along, sent by God to relieve them of the slavery that they're in. He notices the slavery and goes out for 40 years and is a shepherd, but comes back now to rescue, through God's power, the people of Israel and to lead them out of Egypt. And through the mighty hand of God and 10 miracles, and then the Pharaoh relents and they take off and they head toward the Red Sea, and they get to the Red Sea. And Pharaoh has a change of mind, sends his army out to them, and here's all the Israelites at the edge of the sea, and here comes Pharaoh's army bearing down on them, you know. So it's kind of a scary moment. It's another one of those moments like, okay, like what's going on? This doesn't look very good. In fact, they start to grumble again, like maybe it would have been better not to have left. And yet God says to them, just be silent, right, and stand firm, and I will deliver you. And Moses raises his hand and his staff, and the sea parts, and they go across, hundreds of thousands. And water comes in on the Egyptians and kills them. And he delivers them. That's God. That's his salvation. It's always good. Nothing they did, nothing good about them. God says that over and over again. Nothing powerful about you. You're not that special. But I love you, and you're my people, and I'm for you, and I will rescue you by my grace. That's what our God does. He's a gracious and good God who saves us by grace. But then he says, now look, they get through and they're off in the wilderness. Now I want you to obey me. I want you to follow me. Like I've rescued you by grace. Now follow me. Be a holy people. Worship me. It doesn't matter where you're at. If you're in the wilderness, you're wandering around, be a holy people. When I give you the land, this is going to be the message today, be a holy people. Right? It really doesn't matter where we live. We can live anywhere, but we can always be a holy people wherever we go. And that's God's call upon us, is to be worshipers of him, surrendered to him. And of course, the Israelites didn't listen to that. They had their challenges of obeying God. And when it came to the moment where in Numbers 13, they were to take the land, and sent 12 spies up there to look at it. And they come back and 10 of the 12 spies say, that's too scary up there. We're not going in. Except for Joshua and Caleb. They said, no, we can do this. Like, God is for us. He is with us. He tells us to take it. Let's take it. And all the people said, no. It's way too scary. And they shrink back. And don't go. They don't obey God. And so God says, okay, wander around 40 years, right? Everybody over 20 is going to die, except for Caleb and Joshua, who believed. And they wander, and finally, they come now, 40 years later, to the edge of the promised land again, like second time around, right? Never done that? Second time around, here we go again, we're at the edge, take the land, fresh start, baton's been passed to Joshua, take the land, and this is where we're at in Joshua chapter 1. And the challenge is, will they step out in faith and will they obey? Will they this time do it? And it just reminds me of me and us, right? We're told by God to do something. chicken out, don't do it, right? But God gives us another chance, doesn't he? I mean, I love my neighbors, care about them deeply, want to see them come to know Jesus. But then, you know, here's kind of the weak Kevin. One day I'm walking along, and there they are. I can see them, and I kind of go, I'm not in the mood to talk to them. And I cross across the street and go to the other side. Pretend like they're not there, right? That's the chicken, Kevin. Then, you know, God says, all right, Kevin, come on. Like, that was wimpy and weak. And so the next time, I'm actually on the other side of the street, but and they were over there. I crossed across to their side and went up and talked to them for what? The best conversation. Like, come on. Like, God is for you. He is with you. Don't chicken out. Take the land. Reach out to those people that scare you. God's got it. He's for you. And so he gives Joshua this second command, and that is to be strong and courageous. Famous words from Joshua 1. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be and have good success wherever you go. And so God says to Joshua, take the land. I've given it to you. I've promised to you. I will come through. And he says, here's what you got. You got my presence. I am with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. This is our greatest asset. It is God's presence, God's strength with us. He is for us. This is his battle. The battle is the Lord. So be strong and courageous. He says, I've done it. The land is yours. It's promised. Now go take it. I mean, that's the way God works. We saw it in Exodus, right? He saves them by grace. They're pinned up against the Red Sea, right? He says, okay, by grace, nothing special about you. Part the sea, take you through. Now obey me. Now worship me. Now follow me. I've done it. I've cleared the way for you. This is the gospel, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We're saved by grace through faith, not a result of works, so that no one will boast. Now do the work I've given you to do. This is always God's response. I do the heavy lifting, save you by grace. Now walk in the path. Land is yours. Go take it. I love Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15, 10. He says, everything I am is by the grace of God, yet I work harder than anybody else. Giving you salvation, giving you my presence, giving you the power of my spirit. Now go to work. Go to work. Be strong and courageous. Church, take the land. He says, obey me. Obey my commands. Be careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. And do not let this law depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. And so, as God's people who now have been saved by grace, and now given the opportunity to serve him, here's what we're to do. We're to obey. It's pretty simple, really. Just obey what he tells us to do. And in the Pentateuch, in the Mosaic covenant, he says, if you obey me, there's blessing. If you disobey me, there's consequences that aren't good. Obey me. Walk in my ways. It'll go well for you. I see that the greatest danger in our lives is not our enemies. It's not our hard circumstances. It's not our tough employer. It's not our family or kiddos that aren't following. Our greatest enemy is our own heart and our tendency toward a lack of obedience. Nations collapse from within, not from the enemies on the outside. People collapse from within, not because of the surrounding circumstances. We give ourselves to sin. That's the greatest danger. And so God is saying, now look it, hear my word and do it. Obey. And when you don't, you're going to be weak. I just know this. Like when there's really huge challenges in my life or in our church life and it's not going well, I mean, one of the first things I ask, is there some sin in my life? Is there sin in our church? Are there things we need to deal with and get right? So, because God's not blessing us right this moment. What is going on? And that's the warning that comes to these people. Walk in obedience, because that's a place of strength. Be strong and courageous. And it's going to be a fight. I mean, that's why he tells us to be strong and courageous, because it's a little scary out there. It is. You and I know it. Living for Jesus today in this culture in America is a little scary. It is. Let's admit it. That's why we've got to be told, be strong and courageous. Don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed, because the Lord is with you. He's for you. This land is yours. Now take it. I've won the fight. Go take it, Christians. And I think the battleground today is not a land per se, but really the hearts and minds of people in our city and in our world, where there is the lies of the devil and a culture that tells them all kinds of things that aren't true. And there's the truth of God's word, that we can speak truth to them about what is right and what is good and what is a blessed path for people. I was at the Pregnancy Resource Center's annual banquet this last weekend, and the lady that was speaking, Abby Johnson, pretty well-known lady, she was saying, the culture teaches this, and it has basically been accepted, that abortion is clean and neat with no consequences. And the culture sees it as that. And it is not true. It is a lie from the pit of hell. And so we speak truth in love. We got to fight for the hearts of people, because all of us just naturally drift. And that's why we're told to have the word of God in our mouth and on our lips, to bring it to mind, to have scripture with us so that it comes to mind and God uses it to speak to us in the circumstances that we are in. And so this is a time, if we're going to take this land, to know scripture, to read it, to study it. Like, this is a good chance. Right now we're going to do Joshua, starting today. 24 chapters of Joshua. Read one a day and you'll end about the time this sermon series ends. Be perfect. Know it. Let it come to heart. Study it. Speak some time to think about a chapter, summarize it, and then say, how am I going to apply it to my life? Basic, just doing what God's given us to do. So be strong and courageous. Obey God's word, know it, and follow it. Let's build God's word into our lives. Let's take the time, daily if we can. Like, it's a good aim, right? There's always things that come up, but daily if we can, to spend a little time just reading God's word so we can have it in our hearts and obey it. Well, finally, God comes to Joshua and tells him to make a plan, and Joshua moves out to make a plan now to take the land. I mean, you got a picture, like, here's these Israelites, hundreds of thousands of them, and they're just to the east side of the Jordan River, and they're about ready to cross it over to this land that God has promised to them. Now they're going to go in and take it. It's going to be, we're going to see this as we work through it, but God's judgment upon many of the land who have for centuries disobeyed him and ignored him, his judgment is on them even as they go in. And so Joshua does this. I love this. This would be just a great lesson on leadership if you want to just kind of go that way with it. But he says, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. For within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan and to go in to take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. So now it's up to Joshua to organize and plan the moving in to take the land that God has promised. And he communicates the vision, and he starts to talk to the various men of valor, they're called in this text, and how they will move into the land. And he's calling for great sacrifice. It's a good reminder, like, if we're going to be people who actually do God's mission, it's going to cost us something. And some of these men were going to leave their families behind and move in until the land was at peace, and then come back and return to their families. Some, no doubt, would lose their lives. But the promise is, if you'll obey me, if you'll obey me and do what I'm calling you to do, I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you a peaceful land. It says, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest and will give you this land in verse 13. Verse 15, he says it again. He gives rest to your brothers. He gives rest to the people. And so if we follow Joshua, he will lead us to this place of peace. And this is a picture of a later Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. Same name as Joshua. Isn't that interesting? Our deliverer, that's what the name means. That Jesus would be our warrior, that he would take on our enemy, sin, and die on a cross for our sins, so that we can be given peace. A beautiful picture. That whoever would believe in him and trust in him and trust in his death on the cross would be given peace with God. Romans 5:1, we are justified by faith and we have peace with God. And then the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 4 that that rest of Joshua, he's mentioned again in Hebrews 4, that rest of Joshua points us to the great rest that someday we have in eternity with him, with no more enemy, all enemies defeated and conquered, and sin and death defeated. And so this taking of the land has these great pictures of God marvelously going before us as our warrior to give us a land of peace and peace in our hearts. So Joshua is told to take the land and that there would be peace as they obeyed. Now, it comes to us today, right? I mean, this is thousands of years ago. There's some debate as to what year this is, whether it's 1466 or 1283 BC, but I wasn't there. So, don't know. But somewhere back there, right? Long time ago, right? 3,000 plus years ago. But we've been given some marching orders today that sound pretty similar today. Matthew 28. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. That's how we take the land. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And listen to the promise. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Here's why you go. Here's why you go bravely. Here's why you go with strength and with courage, because I am with you as you do this. This is our Savior's marching orders for us to take the land. And he promises, I will go with you. God's laid this land, this Salt Lake City land, in front of us. And he's saying, be strong and courageous. This is the coolest place to be a Christian in the whole world. I look at this. I'm a guy that would be a nomad. I'd move every year if it were just up to me. But this is the best place to be. This is the fastest growing state in the whole United States of America. You know that? Fastest growing one. And we have all kinds of religious people, many of whom have never really heard who Jesus really is. Lots of them. And we have lots of people who are just not religious at all, want nothing to do with it. They just love the mountains. And who can blame them, right? Who can blame them? Like, this is a good place to be today. Go up there. It's pretty. Why are you sitting here? Because Jesus is Lord, right? And this is a better place to be. But this is the draw of people in this state. And all kinds of people pouring into this state of ours. I got a little card in the mail this week to talk about all the states that are sending people to our state. California's number one. I don't blame him for leaving that state in one little bit. I have a son who lives in California. I hope he doesn't listen today. He likes it. But people here, this is what's remarkable about this place. We got all these people and it's growing like crazy. But the people in this city expect a spiritual conversation. This is a religious city. People aren't offended by a religious conversation in this city. We ought to take advantage of that. I was in line at Trader Joe's a week ago. And this guy was packing our groceries, and we were just talking about a number of things. I said, I'm a pastor. And this guy said, you know, I'm on a spiritual search. How many are like him, right? That if we just have enough strength and courage to say something stupid like I'm a pastor or I'm a Christian, like it might open up something. Right? That took a little courage. I kind of hesitated before I said that. Wasn't sure I should. I'm just buying groceries for crying out loud, right? But this is our city. Greatest place to be a Christian. And it's our responsibility as a staff really to equip you and resource you. And we're planning to do that in the next several weeks. To take our land like we haven't before in this church and join other churches, good churches in this valley that are doing similarly. Encouraging you to spend time in his word like we're doing. And all of us need to know at least one way to explain the gospel. If you don't know how to explain the gospel, first of all, there'd be a lot of ways you could find right there on the internet. But if you want us to help you find a way to explain the gospel, simply let us do that. You got to know how to explain the gospel. But also to live in community, that we got to do this together. It's inspiring to work together. Find a group of Christians in this church. There's lots of them listed. There's in the Connections magazine, you can find a bunch. We're starting a bunch of new ones here this next few months. Be a part of a group. It really is a day similar to Joshua. We're assessing our church and where we're at. I mean, the pandemic is this great gift. Like, we can just blame everything wrong with us on pandemic. So we did that. Now we got to do something, right? And so we're assessing our groups and our leaders and gathering with them one at a time. Many of you will be getting probably phone calls of how, what's your part and how do you join the team to move out into this land. And God is raising up new leaders. We got people coming to us and I want to lead a group in this church and be a part of that. And we're forming them and you'll be hearing about them in the weeks ahead as we move again toward Vision Sunday. We've recently started a young professionals group. Some of you are part of that. It's great. And thankful for Josh who's starting that. And we've got a new young families group that's starting here in the new year. And a lot of things going on. And the other night, Max, I'm going to say Max Locato, but it's Max Dietz. He's a great Max, too. I like this Max really well, the one we have. But he had 25 junior hires at Wednesday night. Like, what in the world do you do with 25 junior hires? You take them to the Nickel Arcade. That's what you do. He said, we just dominated that place. He said, they were losing their minds in there. But anyway, 25 of them. That's so cool. And then now we broke the 50 barrier again with the children's ministry. So that means it costs us more to do our computer work with them. It's kind of a bummer. But God is on the move. He's doing something, right? Band, you can come on up. God is doing something with us. Just by grace, nothing special about us. But what we want you to know is all of us have a part to play. We all do. And what's your place in the taking of the land? And then maybe one other thing, it's really exciting. Many of you asked me if we have a new church planter that we have our eyes on to help us plant our next church. And we've got great news. We've got a new church planter that's going to be joining our group here to help us plant a church in the next year. And we'll share with you a little bit about that at the end of the service. really excited about that. But look it, let's not be like the Israelites. And they get to the edge of the land, you know, send up the spies, and they look at it and go, it's too scary. It's too hard. It's going to cost us too much. I'd rather wander in the desert for years than do that. Look it, if it's not scary, and if it's not a little bit uncomfortable for you, and if it doesn't leave you on your knees sometimes going, I don't even know how I'm going to do this next day, then you're not serving Jesus. That's what serving Jesus like looks like. That's why we have to be told again and again, be strong and courageous, because it's scary serving him, and it's uncomfortable speaking up for him. But that's the only way to serve Jesus. And so we are told, as Paul was told in Acts 18, I've got many people in this city. I've got all kinds of people with hungry hearts. Go out and share the gospel so that they can come to know my son, Jesus Christ. He is with us. He is for us. He is doing something really amazing amongst us. And so the question comes to us, where are you going to be strong and courageous this week in serving Jesus?